of the sermon is, and the oil stayed. The oil stayed. Beginning with the first verse in 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels. Borrow them not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door, and upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went in from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said to her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. This is a wonderful story of a miracle of God's provision for this widow of an Old Testament prophet. The reference to her husband in the scripture as one of the sons of the prophets, it shows evidence that her husband was well known by Elisha. This expression, the sons of the prophets, that tended to represent men of God that were involved in the instruction of the laws of God to the local folks, much like a pastor would be today, rather than actual prophets like Elisha. So in a way, this lady was the wife of a deceased pastor, a deceased minister. I'll just tell you, no one has to put up with as much as a pastor's wife. I'm going to say that again. No one has to put up with as much as a pastor's wife. That's mainly because she's got to put up with the pastor, you understand? Sherry's saying amen to that. The text in 2 Kings tells us that she was a poor widow with children. She was at risk of losing her children to the creditors, as she apparently had no assets, just debts and children. And it's a sad picture when you think about her condition. The Bible describes this situation as desperate. So in her desperation, she comes to Elisha, told him of the circumstances. And in those days, debts that couldn't be paid, then they had the right to take the children as bondservants and keep the children as bondservants until the debt was satisfied. Can you imagine, as a mother, as a parent, what you would feel like knowing that someone was going to come take your children away and make them bondservants? Can you imagine the fear that this dear widow woman faced? And we hear her saying to Elisha, What am I going to do? Can you help me? Most of us here today have had moments just like that, haven't we? Moments when suddenly we cry out to God and we say, God, what am I going to do? Can you help me, Father? Can you help me? Well, I'm certain Elisha was a very compassionate man, and he looked at her. The Bible says, he said, Woman, what do you have in your house? She tells him, I don't have anything but a big pot of oil. Now, we know that in the Word of God, the Word of God often references oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So in a way, what this widow woman was saying is, I don't have anything in the house but the Holy Spirit. All I've got is the Holy Spirit. Hear me this morning. If you've got the Holy Spirit, if you have His Holy Spirit power in your life, you've got all you need. You've got all you need if you've got His power in you. Well, Elisha tells her, get your children, go out and bring some empty vessels in. When you had the vessels, then shut the door and begin to pour the oil in the vessels, and the vessels will be filled up, and set them aside, and go and sell all the extra to pay your debts. Do you notice that in the scripture, there's not one place in there that records her or her children saying something like, "Are you crazy? Are you crazy? We've got all these empty vessels. There's one little vessel full of oil." There's not any evidence of all of them looking around and saying, "Have you lost your mind? We can't do this from one little vessel." There's not any evidence of complaining or doubting. Anybody saying, "That's a really dumb idea, Elisha. Where did you come up with that?" It's not there at all. This woman in faith did exactly as Elisha told her. It represented that she was trusting that God could somehow bring a miracle to meet that need. We need more of that kind of faith today. We need more of that kind of faith that says, "I don't get it, I don't understand, but somehow, some way, God is going to do a miracle to meet this need, to help this individual, whatever that need may be." Yes, when we get desperate, when we get to that point where there's nowhere to turn or no one else to turn to, it's in that desperation, it's in that moment of great need that we can find faith, real faith. Faith that we never dreamed that we could have. Faith to take God at His word. Faith just to say, "I don't understand it, but I'm completely trusting You, my Father." The Bible says they brought the empty vessels, they closed the door, and they filled them with the oil. They just kept pouring and pouring. And as she poured the oil, her only little pot of oil, it didn't ever get empty. It stayed full. They just kept pouring and it kept coming. Don't you know this widow woman and those two boys must have had a shouting hallelujah time behind those closed doors? Can't you imagine as they just keep pouring and they fill another pot up and they look and the pot they've got is still full. The oil stayed. It's still there. And they go pour another one and they look and the oil is still there. And they must have been rejoicing and thanking God. And they realized that miracle was happening right before them. Yes, that verse 6 says, "And the oil stayed." The oil stayed. It means that that pot of oil, it never ran dry. The oil was there no matter how many vessels there were to be filled. That original pot of oil was full. The oil stayed. Let me just say to you today, the Holy Spirit is still here. The power of His Holy Spirit is here. He is as powerful today as He was on the day of Pentecost in that upper room. He has not changed. He is still here. He still wants to fill us and empower us for service and to use us to give honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And you pause and you think about it. The difference between us and that first church in Jerusalem, the difference isn't God. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's us, isn't it? The difference is us. Because the Word says the oil stayed. The Spirit has always been there. We moved away. We doubted. We said, "Well, I've got this figured out. I can do this." The difference in our preaching and the preaching of Paul and the preaching of Peter or the preaching of Stephen or the preaching of others in the early days of the church, even the preachers like a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth and many others that preached under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the difference is not God, the difference is us. It's us. Yes, the oil stayed. The original old vessel, the old used vessel, stayed full of oil. It's ready to be poured out unto the empty vessels that come to the Lord for filling. The Holy Spirit stayed. It's ready to be poured out into those that would come forth and say, "Fill me, touch me, refresh me once again." So let's take just a moment and review the three vessels that are mentioned in the story. Number one, the first one is borrowed vessels. Borrowed vessels. Verse 3 says, "Then he said, 'Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. The mighty workmen of God in the past have been workmen that worked with the borrowed vessel, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit. Look at this next PowerPoint with me of Scripture in Zechariah 4 and 6. The Bible says, not by might, nor by power, but what? But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. By my Spirit, says God, I'm going to touch you and help you and strengthen you. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, Paul said, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be what? Of God, and not of us. Oh, what a powerful word that is. If we're going to do God's work, we must do it God's way. He's got to come into us as a borrowed, empty vessel so that the Holy Spirit can come in and minister in us. We've got to forget about the numbers and records and all that nonsense. We've got to get our faces before God and cry out to be a borrowed, empty vessel and ask Him to fill it with His power, with His presence. That's our only hope. That is the hope for the world and for Christianity today, to be full of the power of His Holy Spirit. Remember the story in Luke's Gospel in the 11th chapter. Jesus tells a story that one night at midnight, a friend came and began to knock on the door of another friend's house. He began to cry out. He says, wake up, wake up. You've got to come to the door and give me some bread. I've had a visitor come to my home unexpectedly, and I have nothing to feed him. So let me borrow some of your bread. Get up, come to the door, answer my knock. The Bible says the fellow that was asleep, he said, don't trouble me. It's late. We're all in bed. Come see me tomorrow. Just come see me tomorrow. I can't get up and help you tonight. But the Bible says the fellow just kept knocking, and he didn't give up. He wouldn't go away. And so finally, the man in bed, he gets up and he answers the door. And because of the persistence, because of the perseverance of the man at the door, he came and he gave him as much bread as he needed. So here's the lesson in this message here in Luke's 11th chapter. It's in verse 13. Verse 13 declares, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? By the way, it says the Holy Spirit for those who ask Him. The Holy Spirit's not an it, it's a Him. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. You can trust in education, and you'll get what education gives you. You can trust in promotion, and you'll get what promotion can give you. But if you trust in the Holy Spirit, you'll get what God wants to give you. Oh God, give us a borrowed vessel today. Give us the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let that be our heart's cry. Look at this next scripture with me on PowerPoint in Acts 1 and 4. Wait for the promise of the Father. That's speaking of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then Acts 2 and 4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at the next PowerPoint, more scripture for you to look at. Acts 1 and 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 2, 28 and 39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you and unto your children and to them which are far off, even to as many as are called by our God. That's you and me. That's for us today, called by our God, to be filled, to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. It is the birthright of every born-again believer. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? There's a word for us. Listen to that word. Listen to what Jesus is saying to you and to me today. He's saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Getting that borrowed vessel, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is the need for the church today. It's a need for Christianity today. Once there was an old country preacher in Georgia who had the opportunity to go to London. It was a trip of a lifetime for him. He had always wanted to see Wesley's Chapel. He had heard about it, but he had never seen it. Finally, the day came when he was in London that he got to go into Wesley's Chapel. He got to stand behind the pulpit. He began to think about the great revivals that came from that pulpit. He thought about the hundreds and even thousands of souls that were saved by preaching from that pulpit by the grace of God. And as he began to think about it, it brought tears to his eyes. And the tears began to roll down his rugged, wind and sun-dried face. He bowed his head and he began to just cry out loud, "Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. Do it again." That should be our prayer today. Lord, do it again. Give us a borrowed vessel, the power of the Holy Spirit to get the work done that needs to be done. The second point, the second example, number two, the empty vessel. Verse 3, it says, "Then he said, go borrow the vessels of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few." Elisha is telling the widow to get empty vessels. There's an emphasis there. Get empty vessels. Don't go get vessels full of stuff, full of water or other oil or anything. Get empty vessels. Hear me. God is not going to pour out His Spirit into vessels that are already full. Let me say it again. He's not going to pour out His Spirit on vessels that aren't empty. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, Paul said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Oh, how we need to empty ourselves of our plans and ambitions and all of our thinking, that He could take control of our lives, that He could come in, that God help us that we would be an empty vessel to be used by the Lord. In Judges 14 and 6, the Scripture tells us of an account about Samson. Look at this next image with me on PowerPoint. He encounters a massive roaring lion. I used to love to hear that story in Sunday school as a little boy. I just thought it was great. A massive roaring lion. The Bible says that Samson tore the massive lion apart. In fact, it says here in this word, it says that he tore the massive lion apart because the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. What is that saying? He's saying when the power of God came upon him, there was such strength and power in him, he could tear this massive, mighty lion, rip him apart as if it's a little baby goat. When it said it rent him as a kid, that's what it's making reference to. All I can say is if the lion was coming after me, I'd want the biggest gun I could have. I want the biggest, most powerful gun I could get my hands on. But we've got to remember this. In this example, in this story, the power of God came upon Samson. He did not do it by himself. We cannot make it on our own. We must have the power of God in us. We must have that power working in our individual lives. In fact, we are defeated when we try to fight the devil. We try to fight the enemy of our souls with the weapons of our own making or with the weapons of this world, we will lose the battle. The way we have victory is to be empty. The way to have victory is to be an empty vessel and bring other empty vessels along to the Lord. There has to be an emptying before there can be a filling. Again, we've got to empty ourselves of our plans and the things of the world, and then be filled with His Spirit. In the old days, before cars, preachers would get out and get on their horse and ride the circuit and go to different churches and preach. One day, a preacher got on his horse, getting ready to ride his horse to the next church before he's ready to preach. And he got on the horse, but the horse wouldn't move, it wouldn't go. So the preacher kicked him a little bit, and the horse still wouldn't go. So he kicked him even harder. and the horse wouldn't go. So finally the preacher took his shoes, his boots, out of the stirrups, and with both of his feet he kicked that old horse as hard as he could. And when he did, the horse began to buck. And remember, the preacher had taken his boots out of the stirrups. Well, as the horse began to buck, one of the horse's back hooves got caught in one of the empty stirrups. And the preacher looked down at that horse. He said, "Mr. Horse, if you're getting on, I'm getting off." And he jumped off that horse. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is with the power of God and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit says to us, when the world's coming in, I'm getting out. The Spirit is saying to us, I'm coming into an empty vessel. We must empty ourselves of the things of the world, our own desires, our own ambitions, our own comforts, our own ideas, our own thinking. We must empty ourselves. We must die to ourselves, because then God fills that empty vessel. Finally, the third example of the vessels, number three, is a full vessel. You see that on the next PowerPoint. Actually, we were defeated. We mentioned that when we try to fight the devil with weapons of our own use, and then go on, advance it to the next PowerPoint, which is the full vessels. The last vessel we look at is the full vessel. Now look at this next PowerPoint image with me of this widow and her sons. I like that image of what we see there. The Bible says that, you know, she took the two boys, all the empty borrowed vessels, put them in the house and shut the door. There was nothing in there but her, two boys, and a house full of empty borrowed vessels. Now, I think it's important to just remember that Elisha told her, when you do this, when you go in there, shut the door. Shut the door. Shutting the door is a representative of removing all the distractions and just staying focused on the very thing that the prophet of God had told her to do. We don't need any distractions. Sometimes, spiritually speaking, we've got to just shut the door. We've got to quit worrying about what will people think, what will they say, how will this be received, what's going to take place. Just shut the door to all the noise that the enemy brings into our hearts and lives, and focus entirely on what God wants to do in our life. Well, her son just kept bringing those empty vessels. Finally, one of them says, "You know, Mom, there's not any more empty vessels. Every vessel is full." I love it, because then that's when the Bible says, and the oil stayed. That original oil and that original pot, it was still full. Oh, praise God. Praise God that the oil of the Holy Spirit has stayed, because Christ made that promise to us, the promise of the Father, "I will send Him, the Helper." The oil has stayed. It is with us, and it's ready to fill every empty vessel that would reach up in faith to God. You know, the Holy Spirit can fill every nook and every cranny and corner of your life. You can be so full of it, and yet we know the best is still to come, isn't it? Oh, the best is still to come. Look at this scripture with me in this next PowerPoint, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2. And Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The same spiritual blessings received by the saints of old are still there available for you and me today. The same blessings of the fullness of the Holy Spirit are available for you and me today. We can be vessels full of the power of the Holy Spirit. We must be vessels full of His power. A little old lady lived all alone. She was very poverty-stricken. One day her pastor came to see her to see if he could help her out. He showed up and he says, "What is your need? How can I help you?" And the lady says, "Pastor, I'm all right." But he could see she was in great need. There was no food in the house, and there was no money in the house, and she couldn't make ends meet. And he says, don't you have any food? And the lady just would reply, said, "No, Pastor, I'm all right, I'm all right." So the pastor asked her, he said, "Well, do you have any children?" And she says, "Yes." She says, I've got a son. He lives down in South America right now. And all that I ever get is he sends me these little green pieces of thin cardboard every month. They're worthless. I don't know what to do with them. They have no value. They can't help me at all. And the pastor said, well, do you have any of these little green cardboards left? I'd like to see one if you've got one left. And she said, sure, I have them. In fact, I papered my whole back wall with them, and I even started papering the ceiling with them. And so the lady took the pastor into the back room and showed him how she'd papered the wall and the ceiling with these little green cards that her son had been sending her. And the pastor looked at him and he said, lady, the things you've been receiving from your son all these months are U.S. savings bonds. You're rich and you don't know it. The lady was living in poverty when she could have been living in wealth. I'm going to tell you today, God's people are living poverty-stricken lives, spiritually speaking. Oh, when they could have the power and the anointing and the presence and the fullness of the Holy Spirit filling them with the riches and the blessings of God by His Holy Spirit. Would you please stand with me today? Everyone, please just stand up this morning. Let me ask you this question. Would you like to be a full vessel today? Would you like a fresh touch today? Would you like to have that presence of the power of the Holy Spirit ministering to you today? You can come, you can empty yourselves. You can empty yourselves of the stuff of this world. You can tell the Lord, you can say, I'm begging to be a full vessel. If the Lord is speaking to your heart today, if you want a fresh touch, if you want to be filled with His Holy Spirit, I encourage you, just step out right now. Step out from where you're standing and come forward and just face the front and face me right here in the front. Just step out right now. You know the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. You can feel that in your heart and your spirit. You know He wants you to be filled with His power and His love and His presence. Just come forward right now. I encourage you. Don't hold back. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Holy Spirit, I need Thee. Oh, come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Oh, come in Thy strength and Thy power. Oh, come in Thine own special. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, help us not to live in poverty, spiritually speaking. God, help us not to paper the back walls of our house with all the promises of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to reach out and to grab hold of that promise and get that fresh touch every day of our lives. There's not a day that goes by that we shouldn't have that touch and that feeling and that power and that presence in our lives. It is the key to victory, spiritually speaking, is the power of God in us by His Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God for the gift. Praise God for that gift for every believer today.